Now, my sermon this morning, the title of it is, You Need to Utterly Destroy. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I need your ability at this time to be able to share your word with your people that have come out this morning. Lord, I pray that it would be one that would bring self-evaluation of their own lives and where they're at, Lord. And I pray that it would be encouraging as well, that you love them no matter what, Lord, and that there is things that we need to make sure that we destroy and get rid of in our lives, Lord. Lord, I pray that it would be clear to the people, that they would have understanding of your word, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that I would be the clay and that your hands would form me and give me just the words that you want to be said here this morning, Lord, that it would not be of me, but it would be of you, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name, amen. You need to utterly destroy. Deuteronomy 7, 1 through 6. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the hand, whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations, greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away the son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. But this shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars and break down their images and cut down their groves and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. Here in Ephesians, it's talking about the Israelites right before they are going to enter into the promised land. They've been wandering around in the desert for 40 years because of their concern when they went and spied on the land. They were worried about the giants and these great walls that were around the city. And now they've been wandering around for 40 years and they're finally going to enter into the promised land. And God says that he will deliver them unto you. He even tells them there is seven nations that are greater than you. Wow, that's kind of a big concern. If I'm on the outside and I'm one nation and I'm going to go in against seven nations, and just one of those seven is greater than I. So Jesus warns them about them, and God says, I'm going to deliver them unto you. But when I deliver each one of these nations to you, one at a time, there's things I want you to do. And that is, one, you need to destroy them. And you think about that, and it's like, wow, you need to destroy them. And God warns them, he says, do not go and make any covenants, don't make any deals with them, you must destroy them. I need you to destroy them because I am concerned about your future. Don't even think about marriage with them. Not because of race, not because of them being a different race, but this same reason is re-given in 2 Corinthians 6:14. It states, don't be unequally yoked. It's talking about believers and non-believers should not be combined in any kind of a union. Whether that union is a marriage union or a business relationship, believers and non-believers should not be bound together because it's setting you up for destruction. Young people that are here today and you're thinking about dating, looking as far as a future spouse, right here is one of the first things that you should be looking at. Are they a believer? Because if they're not, don't even consider any of the other stuff. Don't let Satan talk you into saying, oh, well, you'll change them, because that's not going to happen. The first thing as Christians that we should be looking at, whether it's marriage or in a business or any other thing, we should look to see if that other person is a believer. And God was saying that you're going to enter into this land. There's seven great nations. They're very big and strong, and none of them fear me. None of them worship me, and that's why you need to destroy them, because if you start relationships with them, God knew what was going to happen. He knew that the people of Israel would start to follow their customs. Their customs would turn into serving other gods, and they would be following idols. And if you continue to read the Old Testament, you'll find out that's exactly what the people of Israel did. They did not destroy the people that they were told to. They did not destroy all the idols. They didn't do what God was telling them to do. He was saying that you need to destroy it all. You need to get rid of the people. You cannot let their altars behind. You need to break down their images and burn them, cut down their groves, burn the graven images. You need to let no trace of these people behind. Because he knew the people of Israel, if they had anything left, if any of these idols were still there, that someday they would turn back to them. And that's exactly what the people of Israel did. They did not utterly destroy them. They got tricked into making an agreement with one of the nations. They thought they were a nation from outside of the promised land. And word started spreading about how God was so powerful with these people, and they had fear of them. So they decided to come and trick them. And they signed a covenant, and they started the first steps towards not following what God had said for them to do. And it caused problem ever since. You can look at the promised land today, and they are still reaping what they sowed in those days by not following God. And taking this Old Testament passage, and how does it relate to us as individuals today? Just like them, we need to utterly destroy sin. And what do I mean by that? When you become a Christian, and as you grow, the sin that is in your life, you need to destroy. Don't play the temptation game. We need to get rid of those things that cause us to sin. Too often as Christians, we think we can play a game with it and we'll win. We can just push our limits right up to the edge until it's almost a sin, but not really. And we think we can control it. It's not going to control us. But the same warning that God gave to the Israelites is the same warning he gives to us. We need to destroy those things in our lives. We cannot allow them to be there because we will lose to them. In Matthew 5, 27 to 30, it says that Jesus was talking about plucking out your eye, cutting off your hand. Sin is that serious. No, I'm not hoping that I come in here next week and see a bunch of people with their eye plucked out or a hand cut off. But we need to look at sin and things that cause us to sin with that kind of importance. Because Jesus was saying it would be better for you to lose those things than to spend all of eternity in hell. That's what Jesus was saying. And it's not just your eyes that are causing you to sin. And even if you pluck them out, if you don't really address the issue of that sin that you're committing, it's not going to change even if you're blind. What he's really saying is whatever it is that's causing you to sin in your life, you need to destroy it. You need to get rid of it. You cannot allow it to be there. Don't do like the Israelites did, making deals. Oftentimes we try and rationalize in our own minds maybe that sin that we're struggling with and saying, oh, I got it under control, just a little bit more. While on the inside, it's just tearing us up and destroying us. Whatever that is that's causing us to sin, we need to get rid of it. We can't allow stumbling blocks to be in front of us because sometimes we're going to walk through in the dark and we're guaranteed to kick whatever it is that we let lay in front of us. What might you need to get rid of? You know, sometimes it's our friends that we hang around with. Maybe it's our family. I can tell you from the time that I was growing up until now, I can't hang around with the friends that I had then because they'd be a huge stumbling block for me. I can't say that I don't care about them or pray about them, but I cannot gather with them on a regular basis. Because if I would do that, I couldn't stand here before you either. And I'm not standing here and saying that I am perfect by any means. But I know if I hung around with the same friends that I once did, I would not have been built up and grown closer to God in my life. I would have been the other way. And sometimes we need to evaluate the people that we come in contact with. Maybe it's our job that is just pulling us away from God. Maybe it's the people that we work with. The internet, the TV, the access that we have on our phones. What is it that we are looking at? The music that you listen to. Is the music that you listen to drawing you closer to God, or is it drawing you closer to the world? What are some things that we need to evaluate in our own life to help eliminate the stumbling blocks that we have? One of the huge things that God hates that I have started to learn through studying his word is pride. God absolutely hates pride in people. And you think about it, there is not one thing that we can do as an individual that God hasn't allowed us to do. Everything that we do, including just taking a breath, is only because God has allowed us to do it. And he hates pride. You know, and a lot of times, pride enters in some of the surprising ways. Sometimes we don't even realize when it enters into our lives. Maybe it's a problem with lust that we have, or gossiping, or anger. We can go on and make a very long list of all the different things that we have allowed to stay in our hearts. That when we accepted Jesus Christ, that we did not utterly destroy. Because we still wanted a little bit of the world. We still wanted a little bit. We weren't willing to utterly destroy all of that that we had, all that sin that we had in our lives. Because we thought, oh, I can manage this little bit. And the truth of it is, if we allow that little bit in our lives, Satan will use it for a lot. It's that one little foothold that you allow Satan to get into your life, and you give him an inch and he'll take a mile. Every little bit that you give him, he is going to take more than what you ever planned on letting go. We need to search our own hearts and utterly destroy the things that are causing us to sin. Romans 7, 14 to 25 is written by Paul, talking about the inward trouble that we have in our lives. He's talking about the struggle, the battle that we have inside. I'm only going to read two of those verses. I'm going to read verse 20 and 25. It says, now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. In 25, it says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. We will always be drawn to sin while we walk on this earth. There is no doubt about it. We are always going to struggle with temptation. Our bodies will want to sin and follow sinful habits, while hopefully our minds are going to want to follow God's word. It is a battle that is constantly going on in our lives. Our mind wants one thing, the flesh wants something else. And to help win those battles, we need to get rid of those temptations, those things that we have allowed in our heart. Good things in or good things out. We need to filter what comes into our lives. We need to learn from the mistakes that the Israelites made so that we don't face the same consequences as they did. In closing, with a thought for each of us, I want you to search your own lives and think, what stumbling block, what temptation do you need to remove from your life? What causes you to sin, and how you need to remove it and get rid of it? Each one of us will struggle with temptation and different stumbling blocks in our lives. Those are only a question that you can answer for yourself. And I pray that it would be challenging to be a self-evaluation of your own life. Let us close with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your precious word. Lord, I pray as each and every one of us here this morning that we would look at our own lives and look at what kinds of things we allow in our lives that causes us to stumble and to fall to sin and give in to the flesh. Lord, it's not always easy to follow your word. But Lord, I pray that you would give us each the strength to do so. Lord, that we would be an encouragement and a light out into this dark world. We thank you for all your many blessings, and I ask that you would be with each and every one of us as we leave this place. Lord, I pray that your word would not go out void, that it would grow inside of us and that it would be shared with others that we come in contact with, Lord. We thank you for all your many blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.